Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation changes? When you work with Edward Jones, they focus on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And they'll partner with you to help your strategy stay on track. Visit EdwardJones.com or stop by the office of Todd Nash in Coralville, Jeff Rudolph, or Scott McGill in Iowa City, or Travis Whitmore in North Liberty. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Oh man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play. Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Attic.com brought to you by Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids. Streets Maintenance, the Oxyoke Inn and the Amanas. Also, Premier Automotive in North Liberty. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Supple's Flowers, home of 1-800-800-ROSE. GT Car and his great crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling. Tavern Blue on the Coralville Strip. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement, and Patrick Eads and his staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Here's Tom Suter along with Pat Hardy from HawkFanatic.com.
Yes. What a lovely day today. Yes?
It is. No, it is.
Supposed to stay this nice?
Yeah, we have some rain tonight and tomorrow, and then this weekend is ridiculous.
So we'll late see. Tonight?
Yeah.
All right, so they can get the baseball game.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Oh, okay. Yeah, so no problem. This weekend, sunny. On Friday, low 60s, then mid-70s and sunny on Saturday. And Sunday, sunny and around 80.
Well, it's
a little early.
It's warm. Well, you know.
Yeah, I'm not ready for 80 yet.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to be, Pat. You're really just going to have to suck it up.
It'll drop down to the mid-70s. Yeah, I've turned on my air conditioning already just to make sure it's ready.
Seriously?
No.
I had my air on in my car yesterday.
Yeah, I did. It was, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, mine turns on automatically.
I don't know. I just opened up the sunroof.
Yeah.
Well, I could do that, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, I turn on the car and whatever climate it thinks it should be on, it does it.
Well, there you go.
Hello, Karn.
Hello. I decided to call before I went to my church.
There you go.
But anyway, I was thinking, and that's dangerous, but, you know, back in the olden days when anybody transferred, they had to sit out a year.
Yeah.
Okay, both the Yukon men and South Carolina women, they lost people last year, and so they rebuilt, and they did it through the portal.
Yes, for
now,
the most part.
Iowa didn't do any of that. So if this had been the old times, would Iowa have won this year?
Well, Iowa did win this year, 34 games, and we finished second in the country. I think that's pretty good.
No, I mean the title.
Who knows?
That's, I can't.
I mean, it's philosophy versus philosophy. I mean, it's... Lisa wants to, as much as she can, build on high school kids coming in and getting and coaching them up.
And they did try to get a center.
And they did.
What happened in that case? They just didn't find somebody that would fit in?
Well, go ahead, Pat.
Well, they couldn't. The ones they wanted didn't want to come here.
Exactly. Okay, people say, you know, if we'd had Lauren Betts this year, we would have won the title. Well, she didn't even make the Elite Eight.
And she didn't want to come here.
No.
So I don't know why people dwell on stuff like that.
Well,
No, Lisa, they tried. It's just, but she, Lisa also said in one of her interviews, she said there were only a couple kids who could have played for us, and they didn't want to come.
And Connecticut didn't do a ton in the portal, did they?
No, but South Carolina sure did.
Well, they did, but...
Yeah. Well, and I think UConn did, too, the both men.
Oh, the men?
Well, they did Cam Spencer. That was a...
Was he at Rutgers?
He was at Rutgers. Tristan Newton was there the year before, but he had been there for 2 years, but... That's the world we live in. I don't know, but you got to adjust. The days you're talking about, Karn, they're gone. They're not coming back.
Yeah, but we can dream.
Well, waste your time.
Yeah, we can't. You know, it isn't coming back. But they've got to put some sort of cap or penalty on multiple transfers. They have to.
Well, I mean, don't they?
Apparently not. Right now, I mean, they're not, so I don't know.
Well, they haven't, anyway, yeah.
Okie doke. Well, and what time's the game this afternoon? Is that 4?
Yes, 4:05.
Okay, I'm going to go watch that and then a break off in the middle of it and go over and watch the women.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds like your day is planned.
My day is planned. And what is going to be the temperature?
69.
Ooh, we can almost sit in bathing suits.
Almost.
I dare. I'll pay you $50 if you do.
Oh, God. I look uglier than sin. Okay. Have a good day.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye.
You know, trying to figure out a way to get Iowa that national title.
I know.
I mean, it is pretty amazing, you know, South Carolina going losing only once last year and then completely replacing their starting lineup.
And they did it with the portal, but they also did it with recruiting.
And Cardozo,
Those freshmen killed Iowa, and they weren't portal. They were two players they recruited.
Yep.
And they were two of the top players in the nation. So you just got to adjust. I mean, because it's not going back to the way it was.
No.
We'll have Brad Heinrich on here at 10 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to talking to him about where they are right now, especially with men's basketball. And women's basketball. There's a point guard. There's a guard out there from Villanova, Lucy Olson, whose name is being linked to Iowa, but also Indiana, Iowa State. Some guy on Twitter reported that he's been told that she's Iowa's number one priority. So she averaged almost 24 points a game, and we'll see.
She's number three scorer in the nation.
That's what they need. Right? She had 37 in one game. Yeah. I mean, she's not as tall as Caitlin. She's about 3-4 inches shorter than Caitlin.
Yeah.
5'9", 5'8". So we'll see. I don't know if Brad – can Brad talk about specific
– I don't believe so.
What's stopping him?
And maybe he – well, if
– the NCAA's not stopping him. There's no rules. I think he could if he wants to.
I don't think he wants to.
Okay, but there's nothing stopping him.
Probably not.
The NCAA doesn't have any say over what they can do. But we'll ask him about all these things because, you know, one of the rumors out there or speculators that NIL was a big killer for Tony Perkins coming back.
Yeah.
He wanted some money, and they didn't have it, and so we'll see. Maybe Brad can set the record straight on that. I saw he did tweet something yesterday. Let me find it again because I thought it was interesting. I retweeted it. Let's see. The stuff people make up and post on Twitter about prospective players in the portal befuddles me. So much out there is completely false. So it'll be interesting to see what he says about that. And he's right, though. I mean,
he is right.
I mean, all my Twitter line is now is players entering the portal. It's those on three and tipped and edits, the graphics. It's just nonstop players entering the portal. After a while, it just gets...
It's numbing.
It's numbing and boring. I'm to the point now where I'm not interested. I don't need to know every freaking player that's entering the portal. I mean, I don't need them on my Twitter timeline.
So many.
It's just nonstop. Could you imagine doing that for a living? Those
no.
guys, they must love it, and they probably make good money, these guys. All they do is commitment graphics or portal graphics. But there's a market for it. I'll give them credit. They found their niche, and it's only going to get more popular. But, man, it's just I'm overwhelmed by all the portal transfer stuff.
It is. It's thinking back to just even a few years ago, you know, I didn't think it was going to be quite this bad.
I don't think anybody did.
But it is numbing.
Yeah, I mean, that you're having people leave. I mean, the Indiana State one is said they don't have a player on their roster right now.
They've all
entered the portal. And I could see the big Robbie Avila. I'm sure he's following his coach to St. Louis, I would guess. He could probably get a lot of suitors, though. But, yeah, right now, Indiana State does not, from what I read, they barely have a roster. They have nobody connected to the roster right now.
And hasn't Minnesota just been
devastated? Devastated, yeah. Although Dawson Garcia did say he's coming back. But I saw that, but the other big man, Farrell Payne, he's in the portal and what have you. But my guess is Minnesota will also get some.
Reload.
They'll reload. It's just a nonstop revolving door in the problem. You don't get to know players. You don't get to know the team at all. I mean, it's just that's just the world we live in now.
Well, and the real problem is the fact that a good percentage of the kids don't find a soft landing spot.
No, they don't. And a lot of them, I think, just transfer because they can. They just, no matter how happy they are, oh, this has got to be better over there. They're constantly seeking for that pot of gold.
They're more playing time.
At the end of the rainbow.
NIL.
Yeah, and I just.
Better situation, better team.
But, man, there's also something to be said for staying in a place and a little bit of stability and just building a legacy as opposed to just going all over the place.
Well, and Lisa Bluter's team this year is a perfect example of that. Yes, they did a little bit of transfer stuff with Molly,
and they
Kylie.
Tried to get Lauren Betts, and they tried. Yep. Yeah, they tried, but now, like, I look at that Tristan Newton from Connecticut. He's a perfect example of how the portal should work. He played it not very highly recruited, played his first 3 years, I believe, at Eastern Kentucky, but was better, knew he was better. Transferred to Connecticut, spent his last 2 years, won 2 national titles, first team All-American.
He's done all
right. That's what the portal's for.
Yeah.
This guy went to a bigger stage because he was maybe better than people thought coming out of high school, and it worked out perfectly for him. And you can't, that one's hard to argue with. Cam Spencer, too. I mean, he played 3 years at a small school in Maryland, his home state, Loyola of Maryland, I believe, and then went to Rutgers, but then Connecticut needed to some more offense, and he fit perfectly in there as a graduate student, and that was a good addition. I mean, Cam Spencer was huge for Connecticut, and he was a big loss for Rutgers because he was one of the few players Rutgers had that could shoot.
Of course, then the downside, okay, great for the Eastern Kentucky kid moving on up, not so good for Eastern Kentucky and Indiana State, as you just said, they don't have anybody on their roster.
But they will. Poach from other schools, and everybody's poaching from everybody, and it's a crazy world. But I don't know. Iowa's got to figure out where they want to be, and they got to provide as much help as they can to this swarm stuff because Brad can't do this by himself.
No.
Even though they technically do it by themselves, the university, they still converse. They know what's going on. It'll be interesting to see. We'll get a sense from how frustrated or how optimistic. Have you talked to Brad recently?
You know, I haven't.
It'll be interesting to see where he is mentally right now with this thing because it's a lot of pressure on him, and he just can't do it alone.
I'm guessing Brad is excited.
There's major frustration out there right now with Iowa's NIL for men's basketball.
For sure.
Whether Brad's excited or not, I mean, that's out there. And it's not going to go away until they figure out a way to fix it. But the only way to fix it is to get people to donate money. And if they don't want to, they don't. I mean, Arkansas has a $5 million NIL package for men's basketball that basically renews every year. Uh-huh. $5 million.
Yep.
I'm guessing Iowa doesn't even have $500,000.
I'm guessing you're probably right.
How do you compete?
Well, you
don't. Arkansas is not some premier power.
Well, you don't.
But they're going to have to figure out a way.
You do the best you can.
They're going to have to figure out a way or it's going to get worse. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what he says.
You do the best you can. And I don't know what else, you know. I mean, Pat, friend, you know, had a good young class this year. And Fran's an old school guy too, you know, and if you give him the tools though to get great things out of the portal, he's going to do it.
Well, he would definitely do it, but right now you can't get guys to come here if you don't have the money to offer them.
No.
I mean, I saw a tweet yesterday from someone quoting a head coach said a player who averaged 6 points a game last year is in the portal and they wanted him and he said he would not even consider coming there for less than $100,000. So this player averaged 6 points a game and wants $100,000 for his last. That's insanity.
That's ridiculous.
But that's where we're at.
And somebody's probably going to pay him.
Somebody. I don't know. I hopefully.
For 6 points a game?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking role players now are trying to, they're just trying to get their money when they can, especially if they know they're not good enough to make it in professional basketball.
Well, and that's,
and most aren't good enough.
And that's where it's at. That's, the system says, yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So,
and most aren't good enough.
I mean, Tony's going to looking for some money somewhere, and he'll get it.
He'll get it. And Tony's probably not good enough to play in the NBA, so he's got to try to get his while he can.
And I don't blame him.
And I have not heard. I mean, the only thing I've heard about the six schools that he's narrowed to is that Missouri has a great NIL going for football and basketball. And but I've also heard that Indiana is serious with Tony because he wants to play possibly closer to home. Mm-hmm. Family wants him closer to home. But I'd rather have him leave the conference. That'll be weird having Tony playing at Indiana.
Yeah, I don't want to have to pull against Tony. No. I don't want to. Yeah, I like Tony.
That would be unusual. So we'll see. It's going to be an active offseason, and we had spring football press conferences yesterday, and all the defensive players, I wrote about it, more motion, more movement. Everything's different, and I sound like an old curmudgeon. I'll believe. Yeah, they may have
more. That's how you started out the article.
Yeah, they may have more motion, and they may have more movement. I went back and looked. Same stuff was said when Brian Ferentz took over during spring, but I get what the defensive guys are doing, and there is probably more motion and what have you. I'll be willing to say that, but that doesn't mean they're going to be better.
No, it doesn't.
It does, because it's going to be the same personnel, and so we'll just see. I just need to see it first.
But even if they're a little less predictable, that's got to be a plus, doesn't it?
I guess, but I don't know. It's still the same receiver running at a 10-yard down and out.
You're right.
and yeah, so we'll see.
Maybe he's running a better pass.
And they're talking about all the RPOs and what have you. You know who's not doing those RPOs in practice? Cade McNamara.
Yeah.
So I've just got concerns. But it was just interesting, though. And I don't – you almost would think that these defensive guys, okay, guys, here's our narrative for when they ask about the offense. But, there is obviously more movement, more motion, because all these guys said it. It was the first thing they said. And it's not like they were conspiring and they got together, hey, let's push this narrative. So there obviously is more motion, more pre-movement, pre-snap and what have you. So I guess that's a step in the right direction, but I need to – I was hoping they were saying, well, there's a lot more down vertical routes, a lot more seam routes, a lot more taking chances downfield. Didn't hear any of that. I just heard a lot of pre-snap movement, you know? So, but we'll see. I don't want, like I said, I don't want to sound like a hater. I hope the offense is better because, God, I don't want to sit through another season like the last two. Just brutal.
So, do we have a sleeker Deacon, do we think? Dropped some pounds.
I saw a picture that he didn't look any different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... yeah, they got to have Cade be healthy. I just don't think Deacon and the freshmen are ready yet. Marco, I just don't think they're ready yet to carry that load. They got to get lucky, and McNamara has to get lucky and avoid injury for a year just so we can see what he can do if he's at full strength.
Well, it would sure be helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we got an eye full of Deacon last year, and that doesn't mean he can't get better.
He completed less than 50% of his passes, can't run.
I mean, the numbers were not good.
No, but the numbers weren't good for McNamara.
No, they weren't.
He was like 51% of his passes.
Well, he wasn't even 55?
No, McNamara, I think, was like 51.4. Deacon was at 48%. It was not good.
No.
Just not good. So we'll see. I mean, spring is the time for hope and optimism and predictions and what have you. So I guarantee we'll have that open practice on the 20th and you'll be reading afterwards about how a lot of stuff is fixed and how the Hawks are heading back in the right direction. And I don't care if they
can. Time will tell.
That's what I say. I just need to see it in a real situation. Even in spring practice, I don't get too carried away with stuff because it just doesn't rarely translates.
No.
But I went back and looked. When Brian took over that spring, oh, wow, just a newness, a freshness. There's more aggression. He's going to think outside the box. Everyone bought that hook, line, and sinker. And it never happened. It just never happened. So we'll see.
Well, I like the fact that the new offensive coordinator is a quarterback coach.
That helps.
And that makes me
feel
better.
And he's a former quarterback. I think that helps, exactly. Too. A former very successful quarterback. I mean, he threw for a ton of yards at Western Michigan. Yeah, I mean, Brian was just in over his head, out of his element, and I'm not sure why his father didn't understand that. I mean, when he got promoted at his press conference, well, I've never coached quarterbacks before. I don't know
anything about it.
So that was a little weird.
Well, we had a president of the university that said He learned everything about the university from Wikipedia. So
who was that?
Harold. Mm. Bruce Harold. Mm. Nice. Said the same thing. Hello.
Pat, I know it was on the message board the other day, but I also I know some people that have a connection to the kid from Pierce, South Dakota, that's at Ohio State.
Oh, the quarterback?
Yeah, yeah.
And he is probably going to join the or enter the portal, but mm-hmm. There and Iowa would not be a total no. He would really be interested in one of two places: Kalen DeBoer, who's from South Dakota, mm-hmm. and obviously had him wanted him to go there. That is a true story, and also Alabama and Iowa. But the quarterback room at Ohio State is just.
Well, he'd never play.
Loaded.
Yeah, I mean,
understood.
He would just never play there, and I think he realizes that. He wants to go somewhere where he can play.
They do say, though, like people have said, that he is, of all of them, he is probably the best overall athlete in the Ohio State quarterback room, but he's just not going to, he ain't going to outseat those guys. And so I don't know if it comes up or if he ever has a chance to visit, but it'll be interesting to see if that comes.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Keep an eye on it.
I've seen it on Twitter.
But I wanted you guys to know that some people that I have connections to in Pierce said that Iowa is an option. It has been talked about.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
So, all right. Have a good one.
Yep. Yeah, I saw something on Twitter yesterday about him. He's leaving because there's no chance for him playing there.
I spent a month in Pierce, South Dakota 1 week.
And my guess is he wouldn't go to Alabama because he's probably not going to play there.
Not going to play there either.
I mean, he's trying to find a place where he can play. And, I mean, he's not going to play at Iowa next year. I mean, but maybe his goal, if he comes here, he would.
Not.
He's not going to beat out McNamara.
If McNamara gets hurt.
Well, that would happen. But McNamara is their quarterback. It's like.
Oh, no, I understand.
There just seems like to be this belief that some other quarterback's just going to come swooping in from the heavens and just fix everything. Cade McNamara is their quarterback. And he's there. They believe he'll be healthy by June, and he is the guy. And they're putting all their eggs in his basket, and we'll see. Maybe this guy would come here and climb up to number two on the roster. Now, if that happens, Marco leaves. If he ends up beating out the guys here, I don't see Marco laying as staying here for multiple years as like a third or fourth string quarterback.
Not.
So, but that's what quarterbacking is, though.
Yeah,
so
anymore. We'll
see. No, I just read that Iowa is an option for him. And that, but then this thing also said there's like five or six other schools that are in the mix. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. I can't remember the kid's name.
Oh, I can't either. And I saw it too.
But then actually James Reeser, I saw him yesterday. It looked like he was at the Iowa football complex with his father. I'll tell you, he's tall. He looks almost like an 800 meter runner. He's kind of skinny, but
I thought he was like 6'4".
He's about 6'4". He's pretty skinny. But yeah, he was up here on campus yesterday. I saw him walking through the front lobby of the football facility and what have you. And he'll be, you know, he's another quarterback that's going to be on the roster this fall. So we'll see. It's going to be a busy offseason. But the problem Iowa has right now is they don't have scholarships.
Oh.
I mean, they're over, the last I've read, they're over by five or six, I think.
Yeah.
So, but you can still come here now and it just, you don't need to be on the scholarship count until the fall. They can be way over or under during the spring and summer months, and that's what's going to happen here. So we'll see.
Now, NIL can help with that to a point, can't they?
We'll see.
A guy's tuition through NIL?
Well, you have to ask Brad that. I don't know the specific.
Well, we can ask him.
I don't know the specific rules on that, but it can kind of take the place of scholarship money. But the only reason anyone's leaving Ohio State is playing time.
Sure.
And that's why Caleb Brown, I know some people here tried to spin it that it wasn't playing time, and I'm not knocking Caleb Brown. He left because he was buried on the depth chart.
Sure.
And it turned out to be the right decision for him. He's now Iowa's probably their number one receiver. He's got, what, 3 years of eligibility left or
he
two?
He does, three.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's got, I mean, he's in a better situation here for him personally.
You know, but who knows? If he puts up some big numbers this year, you know, maybe some people come sniffing around.
Oh, he could always leave.
You bet.
Yeah, he could always go. You know, he could end up going to a blue blood, you know, one of the traditional powers. So we'll just have to see. That's the risk.
Yeah, it is.
When somebody has success at a school like Iowa, you worry about losing them to a bigger school with more NIL money.
Yep.
No, it's a crazy world we're living in. But it was good to talk to the – we had eight players. Wampka was asked about Proctor, and his answer was he said he was disappointed and it was a little upsetting. But he said, he goes, he's got to do what's best for him, and I just wish him the
Iowa's not for everybody.
And he said, he said this place isn't for everybody, and that's true. No place is for everybody.
No, of course not.
But his answer was pretty predictable, but I'm sure Xavier knew that he was going to be asked that question, and he probably was asked it multiple times as each media person kind of did their rounds. How's that phone doing?
Some office. Some business. Some people wanted to do some business.
Big sale on the other end.
Some oil business.
Predicting $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
Answer
sounds great.
Get them on the air. Let's put them on the spot.
$1,500 a month. Go.
Embarrass them into advertising.
Hi, you're on the air. Did you want to be on the air?
Yeah. Hey, I was just, you guys were talking about this motion and everything on offense.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a good story. We went to one years ago when went to an Iowa clinic and Coach Brazier was coming up and he was talking and he says, "You guys at Iowa, come out. You huddle up, come out, line up, and it's only one formation." He goes, "We're going to play University of Miami, and they have 101 formations. You know how hard that is to cover?"
Uh-huh.
And everybody kind of looked at each other like, whoa. So he was, at one point, he was trying to tell high school football coaches that you need to move, you know, come out of different formations. And it was just kind of funny because he's very true. I mean, he was the best defensive coordinator ever, and he said he had trouble.
There's some people who may disagree with that, but he was sure a good one.
He was very good, and he was a master at leverage. And that's what the one thing that these players said yesterday that I found encouraging. They talked about how these new formations, they're trying to out-leverage us. That's something I like to hear. Bill Brazier was a master at having the leverage advantage with his players on defense. That's what they always talked about. And this looks like Lester is trying to address that from an offensive standpoint. That is encouraging.
But he was very right. I mean, I, being called the offense, I started putting people in motion, flip-flopping my tight ends and all of a sudden, everybody's looking around like, what's going on?
So I bet it was fun.
Yeah, it's to your advantage, you know, and he was very right on that. So
yeah,
that's all, guys.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Before you called the office, and Pat's already written you down for $1,500 a month.
$1,500 a month advertising?
So. Great.
Can we count on you? Make checks to Hawk Fanatic.
Yeah, well... Thanks a lot.
Well, I only pay in egg rolls.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call.
I like those egg rolls.
Well, that might make you happy, Steve.
Yeah.
Did he say egg rolls?
Yeah. He did.
Egg rolls sounds good right now. An Ariza egg roll sounds good right now.
It's good.
Yeah, it does sound
good. Two good egg rolls, Ariza's and in Muscatine, the Peking.
So where you ate there the other day.
Yeah.
It looked like a huge restaurant with like one table.
There was... It is the weirdest restaurant. It used to be Chinese, and then they sold it. And now a Hispanic family runs it. And so you've got a Hispanic, it's the same recipes. It's delicious.
Like Mexican egg rolls?
No, they're the regular egg rolls, but they got country music in there. It's just,
yeah, that ain't good.
Just odd. But yeah. It's damn good food.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Good to know.
Important.
You brought it up.
I did.
What are you looking at me for?
God, is it already,
he's already taking our sales.
It just looked odd. I mean, the picture you posted looked like a huge place.
Jeb posted that.
With one table. Well, I mean, are there lots of tables?
There's tons of tables.
It just looks strange.
So you didn't see any other tables in the photo?
I did not.
Just the one they were sitting at?
There's tables in the... It's got to be.
It just looked like there was a lot of space.
It's a big place. It is a big place. It's been there.
Well, isn't there a place, the Peking, right on Coralville there on the corner?
Yeah, the Peking.
Yeah, right. But I saw the tables and there's booze and stuff.
Isn't that Peking place pretty big? I've never been in it. The place on the corner of First Avenue.
No take check.
What's that?
No take check.
They don't take checks? A lot of places don't take
checks. Used to be the carousel.
But they had a sign at one time. No take check.
Okay. More and more places are not taking checks anymore. I mean, it's like checks are almost outdated. I still pay some bills with checks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jan.
Most I do internet or over the phone.
Pays the bills with some bills with checks. Yeah, I haven't written.
The problem with paying for checks now is the mail is so unreliable. Like my furniture payment is due on the 18th. I better get it in the mail today, even though it's only going to Minneapolis, because sometimes it takes 3 weeks, and then they charge you a late fee.
Yeah.
But I will say businesses are much more understanding when you call them and say, hey, look when I dated that check. I mean, because that furniture place, one of my payments was a day late. They charged me a $30 late fee. I called them. I'm like, I mailed that to you guys 2 weeks before it was due. Look at the – and they dropped the –
Well, we got a thing now. We had to pay taxes, and then they didn't get them on time. Even though we said it's certified, they didn't get it. They didn't get it for it ended up back in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm doing my taxes tomorrow at 1:00.
So we had to send them a letter saying, look, we sent the certified. It sat in the post office for 10 days.
Got to write a big check to Uncle's to the IRS tomorrow. Not looking forward to that.
To your uncle, your benevolent uncle.
And then it'll cost between that and between making a tax payment and doing my taxes, that's going to be between $2,000 and $3,000 just right there. So, I mean, because I can't do my taxes by myself. I need H&R Block. I mean, my taxes are so complicated. There's so many deductions when you own two businesses. And so, so it's going to be tomorrow at 1:00. It's going to be interesting.
It's only our block here.
What's that?
Yeah, the H is burned out.
The H has been burned out for 3 years.
The H retired.
Yeah. They don't really fix anything. Once something breaks at that mall, they don't fix it. You know, it's like the pothole. It's like
they got that orange cone sitting in there now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what prompted them to do that. At least they put the – it's massive now. It continues to grow.
They had somebody put a meme up where it's Chris Christie on his chair. Floating in the pothole.
He could probably fit in it, even him.
Well, and our friend Chris Brackney posted four people like they were in a hot tub.
It's big enough to be a hot tub. It's getting deep enough, too.
That's funny.
I keep waiting to see like ducks and stuff floating in there.
I mean, hasn't somebody had to drive over that and just effed up there?
Did they ever sell it? They had it for sale at one time.
I thought that they did.
For $13 million.
I thought that they did sell it.
What, the mall?
Yeah. It was $13 or $13.5 million.
Wasn't it for sale about 10, 15 years ago, too? Because a buddy of mine...
Oh, it's been sold
a number of times.
I've told you before, a guy that I grew up with called me out of the blue. I hadn't spoken to him for years, and he's down in Atlanta, and he's part of this big purchasing group. And he asked me what I knew about the Sycamore Mall and if I thought it was worth purchasing. I'm like, you're asking me that? And I told... they ended up not doing it. But... I didn't tell. I go, man, I'm not qualified to tell you what to do in that situation. But I told him a little bit about it, and I know that they ended up not purchasing it.
But I do know that Core did sell it within the last year, right?
I guess. But I haven't done a damn thing with it.
Well, and that pothole, there's other potholes.
They moved Ollie's in there, and that's fine and everything.
That parking lot, though, is a mess with potholes.
Yeah. I mean, but Ollie's has been great for them.
Yeah.
But then Joanne's leaving, right?
I don't know. Joanne's, some of them are closing.
Joanne's really, we did some business with them a couple years ago. We needed to
She used to be down on Gilbert?
Highway
6 and Riverside. Yeah, Riverside and
And we did some business with them, so we went into the Iowa City store. We found some fabric that we liked, and we said, do you have more of this in the back? No. You're going to have to talk to our, we have some, let's look it up. We have some in Muscatine, okay? So we contacted Muscatine. Yeah, no, you're going to need to go to our outlet up in Cedar Rapids. So we had to go up to Cedar Rapids. They had plenty of it, got what we needed. But it just seemed kind of strange, a strange way of doing business.
We had a story that they... were moving from Gilbert to the mall.
Yeah.
We put it on. It came right from their main office. The manager called me up.
From Joanne?
Joanne, the manager that was here at the time. I don't know if it's different or whatever. And just ripped me up and down. Where in the hell did you get that? That's not true. I'm going to sue you. Everybody's always going to sue us. I'm going to sue you. You're ruining our business. You know, I kept saying, it's your organization, your company. They put out this news release. You're moving. And she let go with a bunch of words at me. And
well, turned out to be correct, didn't it?
Yes, they moved.
And I'm guessing she didn't make the move with them.
It was so ridiculous. She just went off the handle.
Yeah. Take a break. I'm having something going on. All right. Yeah, we got to take a quick break, and we will come back. We will. Promise.
1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country. 1-800-800-ROSE. It's so easy, just remember one number, 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist. 1-800-800-ROSE. Remember...
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Hertine and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Hertine and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for three generations.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and HertineandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
Are you tired of living in a home that doesn't quite meet your needs? Then it's time to call the experts at Streets Maintenance. Their team of skilled professionals specializes in renovations and remodeling, transforming your home into the space you've always dreamed of. From kitchen bath remodels to complete home renovations, no job is too big or too small. Streets Maintenance will work with you every step of the way to ensure your vision becomes a reality. So don't wait any longer. Call Streets Maintenance to schedule your consultation at 400-4483. Let's start building your dream home today.
Once upon a time in the land of the Hawkeyes, a business grew. A business that would become synonymous with real estate. Hi, I'm Steve Anderson of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. When you're buying or selling your home, you'll need title and settlement services. Consider the Hawkeye Title and Settlement team. Give us a call at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703. Or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental team provide superior care for your entire family.
Tavern Blue on the Coralville Strip offers the ultimate sizzle of wood-fired pizza perfection. elevate your pizza game with over 20 wood-fired pizzas, ranging from the Tony Pepperoni, the Philly Cheesesteak Pizza, Mary Margarita, and the Tavern Supreme. From the freshest ingredients, Tavern Blue cooks their pizzas to mouth-watering perfection in their wood-fired oven, which helps bring out those old-world flavors. Fresh creative salads, tacos, burgers, signature cocktails, beer, and wine are just a taste of what Tavern Blue has to offer. Tavern Blue is a family-friendly establishment that offers mini golf, table games, darts, and foosball. Go to tavernblue.com for the latest news, events, and specials, along with full menu options. Once again, that's tavernblue.com.
Car won't go into gear? Call Premier. Premier Automotive in North Liberty offers full-service mechanical auto repair, in addition to being Eastern Iowa's most trusted name in auto body repair. Use Premier for all your auto repair needs: brakes, oil changes, air conditioning, diagnostics, transmissions, or preventative maintenance. Whether you hit a deer or your car won't go into gear, see Premier Automotive in North Liberty. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. And special ribeye and shrimp nights. Daily specials at each location. And no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for
you. Hi, I'm Patrick Eads, owner of Deary Ford Iowa City. If you're looking for a great deal on a new truck or SUV, Deary Ford is here for you. With model year closeout pricing and all remaining new 23 F-150s plus 1.9% financing for 66 months plus $2,000. Save thousands on 24 Bronco Sports with 1.9% for 66 months plus $2,000. So when you want a great vehicle and an awesome buying experience, Deary Ford is here for you in Iowa City or online at DearyFord.com.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit supples.net or call them today at 319-337-2246.
84 years of preparation, the wait is over. The Oxyokin's brand new book, Our Recipes, Our Story, is on sale now. 90 pages in full color, 67 recipes, and our unique history for only $24.99. Get yours while they last at the Oxyokin. Available soon by mail order along with our current serving hours at oxyokin.com.
The Oxyokin.
Oxyokin, in the heart of a man.
From the Hertin and Stocker Studios, in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ Iowa City.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making moments.
Sunshine this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by a little later this afternoon. Our high today right around 69 with wind out of the south switching to the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy. A few showers possible. Our low 47. Tomorrow, cloudy, showers, becoming windy, high of 63 by Friday, sunny, windy 63, but we'll be back into the 70s, even low 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable on the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Currently, it's 51.
KCJJ weather, brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths, your home never looks so beautiful.
All right, so it's going to get 30 degrees warmer.
Yeah. Well, it's 56 now.
He just said 51. Was 56 here?
We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they do is they take an
average.
Average from North Liberty to here and in between.
Yeah. So it's 5 degrees warmer here than North Liberty?
Yeah.
Well, it's north, Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Close. It's closer to Santa.
Closer to the North Pole.
And then what day is it going to hit 80? That Saturday?
Sunday. Near 80.
Okay. No, this will be good. Baseball team, I think they play St. Thomas, right? Or no, who do they play today?
I think that's right. Yes.
Is it St. Thomas? For some reason, I thought that was last week. But their last couple of midweek games have been
Didn't they get rained out last week?
Yeah, it was supposed to be at Bradley and Illinois State, and both of them, I believe, got rained out because of weather. So it'd be nice for them to get a game in and hopefully get a little momentum before they head to they're at Ohio State.
They are at Ohio State.
Yeah, they got to get some. Got to get some positive energy going after losing that series at home to Michigan.
Yeah, that hurt.
Rick's quotes, you could tell afterwards, he's very frustrated. But that's what free bases will do, man. They'll just kill you.
Well, you can tell spring sports are really gearing up. If you look at Sunday, men's golf at the Hawkeye Invitational at Finkbein, tennis hosts Penn State, baseball at Ohio State, softball at Michigan.
And unfortunately, no track here in town. God, I'd love to go. Like I've said before, if Iowa track was hosting a quadrangular against like Ohio State, I would love to go cover and watch something like that, but it just doesn't happen. Just the way the sport is set up, it's just not possible.
And that's too bad.
I like track meets.
I do too.
I mean, I love the sprints and the long jumps and stuff like that, and Iowa's got a good team this year, but it's just the way the sport is set up. They are all geared toward like the Drake Relays or towards conference and NCAA championships, and all the other stuff is just kind of secondary to all that stuff.
But yeah, when you're at a track meet, there's always something going on.
Yeah, but it's just not a viewer-friendly sport in college. It's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time, other than the Musco meet, when's the last time they had they had the Big Ten championships here a while back, but nothing.
No.
Did they 30, 40 years ago, do you remember, like, was there ever times when they had, like, a quadrangular Iowa would host three Big Ten teams?
Didn't they used to do that?
Yeah,
they did. Right. And I personally went to an Iowa-Minnesota track meet in Iowa City.
I wish they had that. I mean, I think that's just something that the fans would appreciate.
Was there a good crowd? No, but there were people there.
I think now, if they were hosting something with the success they've had and with Joey's networking, I think they would draw a pretty good crowd if they had a good meet. The problem with like the Musco meet is a lot of the teams that come in, they bring like half their squad because the other half's out competing at somewhere else. It's just a weird setup for track as far as making it viewer friendly for the fans. It's just not there,
and it's too bad because So for folks like me, I enjoy track, but I watch the Olympics, and that's about it,
And Iowa's pretty good this year. They're ranked. Uh-huh. Their outdoor team is pretty good. They finished ninth indoor this year, so they got a lot of momentum. It's just that you just don't get to see them. So,
do you think it's Tiger Woods should give it up? He's going to play in the Masters.
I don't know. He can do whatever he wants. Why give it up?
I think it's just ruining
his body.
His body and his legacy.
Oh, I don't agree with that, but we can just agree to disagree. Tiger's legacy
No, we should fight about it.
His legacy is firmly intact.
Oh, my God, yes.
He won 15
majors. I understand that, but sometimes you just got to say that's,
Well, he will eventually. Is he even 50 yet? I think he's 48 or 49. No, I think he can do whatever he wants. He won, didn't he win the Masters just like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
2019? But yeah, I guess I really don't care what he does. I mean, if he's playing in the Masters and he's figuring in the out, I would watch it. Whereas any other circumstance, I won't watch it. The only way I would watch the Masters is if Tiger Woods is involved.
I agree.
That I'm sure I'm not alone. So no, not to disagree with you, but I do disagree.
No, I just think that it's
you want to fight about it.
Yeah, let's just start swearing.
I'm talking punches. I'm talking haymakers. Back you up into that wall
this
of shit.
This guy that wants this article down is still swearing.
Back you up
is
into that
wall. Swearing at me.
You just hope he doesn't come out here. Do they ever come out here?
No.
No.
Are you ready for him if they do?
We have a series of booby traps outside.
Well, you throw Hunter out there, right?
Yeah. No, you.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy's in charge. Patrick Hardy, he's in charge.
But you've never had anyone come out here?
Yeah, I've had, yeah.
Well, we've had a few. But
come out here upset?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had a guy once that didn't like our language. And
language?
We were in Coralville.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Oh, I think I said goddamn or something. Oh. And he came out here. And I was on the air, and he started yelling at me while I was on the air.
He said, I have my kids in the car.
I said, why are you listening?
I mean, goddamn, that's the worst.
He was mad.
He was
mad. And I was laughing.
I don't want my kids hearing that kind of language.
And don't listen. And turn it off.
Make sure don't go to school then, bud.
Yeah.
Turn it
off. Or the grocery store, or on a walk, or anywhere. That just seems a little overly sensitive.
Turn the damn thing off.
Or change the channel. You know, Todd was probably on.
And it wasn't. He wasn't.
He wasn't on then?
No. No. And the thing is, this guy drove from, I think this guy was near Williamsburg or something.
That's
He wasn't in town.
That's weird.
No, but he wasn't too far away. But he did have to go out of his way.
Yeah.
Don't you find that odd that he would make such
sure.
a, I mean, just.
Yeah.
So how'd you get him to leave?
I was laughing. And he knew it wasn't going anywhere. And I'm on the air and I'm saying, well, don't listen. If I wasn't here right now, I wouldn't be listening.
And then eventually he left.
He just looked at me like, and left. Yeah.
Man, the bridge in that area there by First Ave, where the Perkins is, it's just such a mess up there.
Oh, it's a cluster.
I've gotten caught in there a couple times, and there's no turning around too. If you forget where you are, oh man. When are they going to get that done?
And it's a little easy to get lost in there, too.
Or find yourself going the wrong way or just on the wrong lane. It is a cluster over there.
I don't know.
And now that intersection, First Avenue in Rochester,
a cluster.
That's back to being a cluster.
And then the bridge on Gilbert Street being
done. I haven't been on that.
Yeah,
the signage is confusing, too, where it says turn around bright eyes.
Is that Bonnie Tyler?
Yeah.
Boy, she's getting more pub the last week than probably.
I tell you, she's a picture of Scrooge McDuck in a big pile of green and coins and gold coins. That's Bonnie Tyler right now.
Hell yeah.
She's still alive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Still touring. Still singing the one song.
Who's the one? Oh, Kim Carnes. Didn't Kim Carnes do Betty Davis Eyes?
Yes.
I used to get them mixed up.
See, I thought that was a good song.
Yeah,
oh,
great
God.
Song.
That guitar ID was great.
You guys are idiots. Great song. Betty Davis Eyes.
Well, you get them confused because they both they have gravel in their throats.
Yeah.
Come on, that guitar ID is great.
Yeah, something's wrong with you. I'm giving up.
You're never going to convert me.
honest to God, heaven forbid you ever pass, but if I'm still around when you do, I'm having them play that Call Me Maybe song.
At my funeral?
Yeah.
Yes, Pat really loved this one.
Pat adored this song.
Or Gone Forever by Alan Parsons Project. Remember that song?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to.
You're going to call Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said right around 10 o'clock. So, like I said, I'm interested to see what he has to say.
And what he can say.
Yeah, him deciding not to talk about things, I think that's his decision. And I get it, yeah. I mean, but I don't think there's any rule that's...
Well, right out of the box, let's ask him, you free...
Are you free to comment on specific athletes? Like, can you tell us if NIL was the main reason Tony decided? And we'll see what he says. That's a fair question. And if he can't answer it, I completely understand.
Or if he doesn't want to because the coaches have asked him not to.
And I completely understand if that's the case. And that may be the case.
It could be. It sure could be.
Brad just told me he loves Betty Davis Eyes.
Yeah,
all right,
good.
All right.
Good call, Brad. So how are you doing, Brad?
I'm doing very well, guys. How are you guys?
Good, Brad. Hey, thanks for coming on short notice. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Man, there's been a lot of talk out there, and Tom and I were just talking before you. We're not sure what you can say, what you're at liberty of saying, what the coaches want you to say, but I'll just start it off. Like Tony Perkins. I've heard from a lot of people very close to the pro that NIL was a major factor in him leaving. He wanted to stay here. Is that true? Or can you say that? Can you comment on specifically?
Well, I mean, I obviously can't put words in Tony's mouth.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, I can. I think that it was pretty clear at the beginning of this season that Tony, before the season, that Tony said that this was his last. This was going to be his last season at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here, what, 4 years? Right?
4 years.
I mean,
4 years.
You know, You know, that he didn't say to, you know, I don't think he said publicly, he never said to me privately that this is, you know, I'm leaving because of NIL, or I'm only going to go here one more season because I'm going to go chase NIL money somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
None of that was ever articulated to me publicly or privately. So, you know, I don't have the answer to you as far as what his reasons were for,
okay,
for leaving. But I think that decision wasn't just made at the end of the season. It was made before the beginning of the season.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I don't think that was him entering the transfer portal. I don't think was a surprise to anybody, at mm-hmm. least within Iowa basketball or me. And I actually think I maybe have to go back and look the record, but I thought he had even said that he was, you know, this was maybe put it on social media, you know, one more, going to run it back one more time or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a, you know, this will be it kind of thing. So, you know, could NIL have been the reason for that? Could be. But that hasn't been something that's been
okay.
articulated to me.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Calipari taking over to Arkansas. One of the things that got him there, he's got a $5 million renewable NIL package to work with. When you hear that, yeah. Brad, how is that frustrating? I mean, how do you combat yeah. that?
Well, if we could get somebody from Walmart or Tyson Foods to become a Hawkeye fan and donate a lot of money, that would be helpful, right?
Uh-huh.
Righto.
I think that, you know, that wasn't, you know, unfortunately, I think with Iowa, we don't have the billionaires that are interested in, I don't think we have many billionaires anyway, but there aren't many. And if we do have them, they're not emotionally tied to the Hawkeye success, mm-hmm. so to speak, and willing to front that kind of money. So we're going to have to rely on crowdfunding. I hate to use that word, but mm-hmm. In order to compete, we're going to need to beat them, you know, with lots and lots of people donating whatever they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of crumbs adding up to a nice meal as opposed to someone just writing the check. Would that be nice if we had that? Of course. Is it all true? I'm not even sure. Because I read a lot of things out on Twitter.
I saw your tweet yesterday, Brad, about all the stuff. Can you comment on that? What you tweeted about, yeah. It's befuddling. What, yeah. what are you referring to exactly?
Well, there's a lot of things that I'm referring to, but you know, some of the most recent stuff out there that I've read with regards to Iowa football, that if it were true, then we would be tampering with other programs,
mm-hmm.
and we're not doing that. And you know, some of the stuff that's put out there is fact. Just isn't. There's not a shred of truth to it. And I just, what it just blows me away, guys, that somebody would have that kind of creativity to come up with something and put it out there as fact, and then it just kind of blows up and it takes on a sort of whatever it is of its own, where mm-hmm. it just sort of a story of its own, where, and I'm kind of going, you know, I'll talk to Iowa football or something and say, where is this coming from? And they'll say, we have no idea. They're just idiots that just come up with things. And so, you know, it frustrates me because sometimes what happens is, you know, someone will make up a story about somebody that's supposedly going to come to Iowa, whether it's football, basketball, whatever else, and there's not a shred of truth to it. Then it doesn't happen. And then someone will say, well, it's because of NIL and our NIL program sucks or whatever. You know, someone will come up with the excuse as to why it didn't happen, and it becomes a negative to us when that was never even in the
okay.
was
see,
never on the
I see what
horizon.
You mean. Okay, yeah. That
never
would,
even in the cards.
That
you know
would
what
get
I'm
frustrating.
Saying?
Like, sure, yeah.
It's frustrating that we were the reason why something didn't happen that was never going to happen in the first place.
No, you're right. And then with the Proctor situation, one of the narratives that came out is, God, he came here and took a bunch of our money from the NIL, from fans, and then you came out and kind of set the record straight on that none of the yeah. fan donations were given to Caden Proctor.
That's exactly right. And so I read these things, and I'm just shaking my head like, you know, I think I read on Barstool or one of those other ones where he got $500,000 and he left town already. And you know, you read some of these things, and it's like, this is so irresponsible. You guys, you know, anybody that's a journalist, if you're that irresponsible, you could get in trouble.
Without question.
You know,
yeah.
these kids – these kids are with just a, these people with just a Twitter handle, you know, they can lie all they want, make up stuff, and mess with people, and there are no repercussions. It's amazing.
No, you're so, right. It's frustrating.
Anyway, it is frustrating, but that's part of it, I guess.
Okay, Brad, I want to ask you a name that's popped up for the women's basketball team, point guard Lucy Olson out of Villanova. Are you free to discuss if her name has come up in front of you?
I'm not really able to talk a lot about that, but I can tell you that you know, women's basketball is interested in participating in the transfer portal very much in this off season, and so definitely looking to pick up at least one player, and obviously somebody like Lucy Olson would be somebody that would certainly raise an eyebrow. What is she, like, third in scoring or something this year?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, whether there's mutual interest there or not, I really can't comment on yet. But, you know, we'll see how this all plays out. I would expect that Iowa is a place that any good transfer portal player might be interested in, right?
I mean, I would sure think
incredible fan support, following in the steps of Caitlin Clark.
Fun offense.
Yeah, fun offense and some success. And so, and liberties. You know, one of the things I would say that, you know, they'll give Lisa Bluder a lot of credit for is she saw how talented Caitlin Clark is. And, I mean, is there anybody outside of maybe Steph Curry in America that has a bigger green light than Caitlin Clark?
Probably not.
Steph Curry has the green light that Caitlin Clark has. I mean, it's incredible the green light that she's been given. And there are a lot of coaches out there that wouldn't allow that.
I'm guessing LeBron probably does, even though he's not a great outside shooter, but he is LeBron James. But no, you're right about that. I wanted to ask you, I saw a quote from a head coach on Twitter, an anonymous quote saying that they had been working with trying to get a guard to come. A guard was interested in coming to their program. This guard averaged 6 points a game last year, but would not even begin negotiating at anything less than $100,000 a year. And the head coach says, sorry, we can't do that. Brad, I mean, that's where we are, right, in a lot of these places.
Yes, that's where we are. That's where we are. I heard about a running back this morning playing for a Power Five school, but not one of the who's who that's, you know, generally in the top 25.
Okay.
It was making $400,000 a year. I hadn't heard of this guy. Okay, I hadn't heard of this kid. And, you know, looked him up. Yeah, decent stats, but not like, you know, this isn't, you know, this isn't Eric Dickerson we're talking about here,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, is going to enter the transfer portal because he thinks he's underpaid.
I like your reference to Eric Dickerson. I was a huge Eric Dickerson fan. I remember watching him play in high school one time. And
did you really?
Yeah, I had an uncle who lived down in Houston. And he was from Sealy, Texas, and we happened to be down there. And I'll never forget, number 19, he wore big, he had big, huge glasses.
Yeah.
And I was just mesmerized by how good he was. And then, of course, he turned
out. I felt the same way when I lived in Texas, watching Adrian Peterson play in high school. You watch someone with that kind of talent, and you just kind of go, wow.
Yep. Wasn't he from Palestine, Texas?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and I wasn't old. I remember two people saying when they watched Billy Sims play at Hooks, Texas, it was the same thing. And I wonder what these athletes from those days think when they look at what's going on now. I mean.
Oh, I know. I know, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I remember when talking to Barry Switzer one time, the former Oklahoma coach, he was talking about recruiting Earl Campbell. Remember Earl Campbell?
Sure, yeah. One of the great Tyler Rose.
Yeah, and he said that he found out after the signing day, because he came down to Oklahoma and Texas for Earl Campbell, and he found out that after the day after he you know, committed and signed with Texas, that he said Earl Campbell said that he was going to pray to God that night before bed, tell him where he should go to, you know, go to college. He's going to wake up and make a decision. Barry Switzer says, hell, if I'd have known that, I would have camped out under his bed and hummed Boomer Sooner all night long.
Well, I don't know if you remember the Terry Cummings story. Terry Cummings was going to go to Iowa.
Yes, he was.
And, but he had a dream, and in the dream, God told him to go to DePaul, so he ended up going to DePaul. So, yeah. I'll never forget that one.
He would have been a good one.
He would have. Brad, well, I wanted to ask you, is women's NIL becoming a bigger challenge now? Is it becoming more of a necessity that you got to have more money available? Is it picking up steam?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. There's no question about it. And the what's interesting about it is that there are a few players in the market, apparently with pretty big bankrolls, and then there's everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You can guess who those few players are.
HVL.
Yeah. You know, and you know, you look at that, and I would argue, was that a good move on her part going to LSU?
Maybe money wise, but that's it.
Well, yeah. Ultimately, was it? I mean,
I really wouldn't want to hear it, Iowa. Would you?
Women is different, but you know,
Would you want to see HVL here, Brad?
I think she'd be. You know, there's a lot. There are probably. I think there are probably a handful of players that I would throw a blanket over that say, yeah, that would definitely help.
I'd rather have the guard from Villanova over HVL, but that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, I can certainly see that. I mean, she averaged 23 a game. Granted, her team was atrocious. I mean, that's the other thing you got to look at. I mean, she was playing on a team that just was, you know, if she didn't score, they wouldn't have scored. That's what we're talking about. Granted, she probably would have had a lot more assists because her teammates couldn't make layups. But, you know, like I said, Lucy, great player. Haley Benlith, great player. And, you know, could those two players or any of these other players that are out there, there's a few more you know, gal from Kentucky that's in the portal, really good player. There's more. I mean, there's other ones that...
Girl from North Carolina State?
Yeah, yes. I think the girl from, is it North Carolina State? Whose coach is going to Kentucky.
That's the girl, the guard?
Georgia.
Yes, she's following the coach to Kentucky. Yeah. I think she's already
committed. I think she's going to follow her coach to Kentucky.
She was
another one that I was about to mention that would be an incredible player.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. I would like this NC State guard, too. She can play. I mean, she's very athletic.
Yeah, there's like I said, there's several options out there, and we're at the beginning of this process. I mean, if you think about us, we're actually kind of a little bit farther behind than some of the other schools that are recruiting these girls, just because we've been trying to win a national championship over the last week or so. But now it's kind of full steam ahead. So things will materialize, I think, over the next couple, 3 weeks. And we'll know a lot more. Right now, I don't know a lot about mutual interest and visits and those kinds of things, but that should be happening soon.
Sure.
So we'll see how it all plays out.
So, Brad, NIL-wise, is Swarm in a better position now than they were last year at this time?
Oh, for sure. Better than last year. But I would also tell you that every collective is probably in a better situation than they were in last year. So, you know, the goalposts continue to move.
Sure.
And the value of players in the market continues to go up. And I would tell you that the interest in NIL by players continues to matter and continues to matter more than it did in the past. And whether that's right or a mistake, it's not my place to judge, but it's the truth. So, you know, I can't emphasize enough how important it is that if people want to impact winning at Iowa, that they consider giving to the Swarm Collective at iowaswarm.com. And if you can't do it, totally understand, take care of your family. But if you have the means and you want to try to help us win and we're going to do it the right way, please help us.
Brad, I don't know if you can comment on this specifically, but all those defensive players for football that came back, was NIL a major player in each of those decisions?
I think everybody's different, right?
Okay.
You know, they all have come from different backgrounds. I can say this pretty definitively, that if we didn't have a strong NIL program, they wouldn't all be back.
Okay.
I don't hesitate in saying that. I think there'd be quite a few that would have left if we didn't have a strong NIL program. And I'll also say, that doesn't mean that these kids are just capitalists, so to speak, because many of them were offered more money to go somewhere else.
Interesting.
And they came back for less. But, you know, the differential wasn't enough for them to want to leave a really good thing. Now, if we didn't have an NIL program or we had very little to offer, well, then at some point, then you kind of got to make a you got to pay attention to the finances and go, well, why wouldn't at some point the differential in money becomes so much that you have to make that decision, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I compliment our players. I think that they love the culture at Iowa. They want to try to win a championship at Iowa, and you know, this could be our best defense that we've had in a really long time.
Yeah.
Most experienced for sure. You think about it that way. I mean, there's a lot of minutes that have been logged by these guys that are coming back. And so, did NIL help? I have to think that if you interviewed them, they would all say, most of them would all say, yes, it was certainly a factor. How big of a factor, that's, you know, an individual by individual case.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, do you guys ever reach out to an athlete before talking to the Iowa coaches about him or her?
No, I would never do that.
Okay, that's what I figured. Do you think some other NIL places do that? They just kind of go?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. There are other collectives that will beat the bushes and then come to coaches and say, hey, I've got somebody that might be interested. What do you think of this player?
Wow. That seems an odd way to go about doing things.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Seems bass-ackwards, doesn't it?
Yeah. That happens. I just want to try to facilitate the wishes of our programs and not try to push my own agenda. Hey, I think this person is better than that person. Let's, you know, go for her or go for him. That's
job of the coaches.
You're talking to the same guy who thought that Ryan Leaf would be a better NFL quarterback than Peyton Manning.
I'm sure you weren't alone. You probably weren't alone.
You sure weren't.
Yeah.
I'm a Chiefs fan, and I wanted us to take Deshaun Watson and not trade up for Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
You don't want me to be the guy that decides who to go after.
Now, in fairness, though, Deshaun Watson for a while was really, really, really good. He wasn't Patrick Mahomes, but I could see why you could make those mistakes. I mean, it's tough.
Deshaun Watson beat Alabama.
Yes, he was incredible.
Patrick Mahomes didn't beat a top 25 team at Texas Tech.
No, I mean that Deshaun Watson. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know what I was just saying? Those were my reasons. Like, I want a winner. I want a guy who can't. He can throw for yards, but he can't win a game. Mm-hmm. Patrick figured out how to win games.
Yeah, no, he sure has. So as far as moving forward with this, do you see a push for better, I don't know if infrastructure is the right
control
word. Control, guidance? Do you see anything moving in that direction, or is it still just have at it?
I expect have at it for a little while. I anticipate over the next 2 or 3 years, there'll be some changes to structure. Do I see it imminent or immediate? I don't. Could I be wrong? Of course. You know, somebody could come out of nowhere and propose legislation that somehow passes and then, you know, the world changes. But, I've said before that it feels to me like ultimately student athletes will eventually become employees of the university, participate in some of the revenue share of the television stuff, and yet there'll be a salary cap for each sport, and then there will be, you know, they'll in accepting the money that they get from the university, they will probably denounce receipt of any money from collectives, but your Caitlin Clark commercials from State Farm will continue to happen, which they should, right?
Mm-hmm. You're, sure.
So to speak, you know, someone like Caitlin Clark, the next Caitlin Clark, if there ever is one, or somebody like her or him that can generate revenue for a corporation. If you're advertising for a corporation, you can't tell a kid to not do that. There's just no way. I mean, that's what the Supreme Court ruled against. And, you know, in the NFL, you know, Peyton Manning's still on commercials, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was doing it while he's playing. He's doing it, still doing it now. So that's we're not going to be able to put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Okay.
But the collective stuff could definitely go. And where I'm having to go and ask Joe Iowa fan for money, that stuff can go away.
Okay, so then if the players are all employees of the university, my question is then, do you still have people going back to the way it used to be and the really supreme athletes get money under the table, even though it would be against the rules again?
And do you ever see them having to sign contracts?
Yeah.
Do you see a point where student athletes may have to sign like a 2-year contract?
Yeah, they could sign a contract. Yeah, for sure. And there would probably be a players union probably, and you know, it would get interesting. It would be like the NFL, right? You know, could NFL players get money under the table right now? Of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, don't know if it happens. Can't imagine that it does. But the same thing could happen in college sports that happened before. But before, the money under the table, it was zero if you played by the rules, and anything that comes under the table was more than what these kids were getting before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're already getting X dollars, you know, will there still be money coming under the table? I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe.
We were talking before the show.
And again, I don't know how this is going to go. I'm giving you my what I think will happen.
Of course, sure. Of course.
My opinion is no better than anybody else's. We'll see what happens.
We were talking before the show. Indiana State at this time, I read, I don't know if they even have a member of their team right now. They're all in the portal. I mean, it's just, and Tom brought up Minnesota. You've seen, Brad, what's going on with Minnesota. They're losing players left and right, Minnesota men's basketball, after a pretty good season.
After a pretty good season.
A season in which they overachieved, I thought, and exceeded expectations, yet they're just being...
I did see that. Isn't Dawson Garcia
coming
back?
He is coming back.
He is.
He is, but the
he's
Farrell
their
Payne,
best player.
He's their best player. That was a good one, but they're paying guys in the portal. It's just crazy. I mean, it's just...
Well, you know, some of these kids, and it's sometimes they're getting really bad advice, too.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, they'll be, you know, if you do the math, and that's kind of what I do for a living, you do the math and you look at everybody that's in the portal, and you look at how many scholarships there are available in Division I athletics, at some point, it's sort of a musical chairs thing, and you're left without a seat to sit on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself going down a level not working out exactly like you hoped. And so unfortunately that's the world we're in though. But yeah, there's some of these college kids that are, you look at Hunter Dickinson, I think that kid that went from Michigan to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly if you believe Twitter, he went for a lot of money. I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm just, you know, going off on this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that because I read so much that I know is false, that it's hard to believe a lot. But, you know, assuming that he left for a lot of money, he's not really a great NBA prospect, or at least that's what the draft
analysts say. Yeah, he'd be there by now. He would be in the NBA if he was.
Which is why he went for the
money.
The bag.
Yeah.
That's where, and so can you blame the kid?
Not at all.
Not necessarily using the kid as an example, using him as an example or just the idea of it. It's like, hey, if I'm not going to make a lot of money playing this sport when I'm done with college, but I can make a lot of money at this sport when I'm in college, can you blame the kid?
No,
I really can't.
No,
not
can't.
For a second.
No, nope. You can't. Brad, I wanted to ask you, football, men's basketball, are they both where you want them to be right now as far as that? Is one doing better than the other? Is one easier to work with? Can you talk about that? I'm just hearing a lot about men's basketball.
They're both great groups of people to work with.
Sure.
It's really about, you know, but if I'm coming to you guys and asking you to donate to the Swarm and you get to decide where your money goes, I'm saying that the generic you, I've had a lot more people tell me that they wanted to go to football than to men's basketball.
Okay.
And it's not my position to say, no, 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 you don't want to do that. I want you to give it to men's basketball.
Sure.
I mean, I want them to donate. If they're donating their hard-earned money, I want them to put it where they want to put it.
Okay.
And if it's football, then it's football. If it's men's basketball, it's men's basketball. If it's women's basketball, it's women's basketball. So, you know, what I would tell you is that we've had more success with football. And from a relative standpoint in my mind of where I want to be, where I think we should be, I think we've had more success with football than
okay.
basketball. And it's more, it's critical. The unfortunate part about it is we talked about this, I think, before on your show, with men's basketball, you know, we have to go up against these schools like Creighton and Xavier and Providence and Georgetown and
no football
and even Drake and some of these others that don't have a football team, or at least not one that we want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
right? Or Gonzaga.
Sure. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so they're able, they have an NIL program, and they can drive the market value or the price of these players up substantially and afford it. Whereas we're sitting there going, oh, my gosh. You know, we don't have the pot of money for men's basketball that we would like. Do I think men's basketball wants to, you know, be active in the portal in this offseason? Yes. Am I actively trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to finance it all? Yes. and so if anybody's out there that's a men's basketball fan, we could certainly use help. Because I know that Fran wants to get a couple of guys in the portal.
Yes. And again, for our listeners, tell them where – how do they donate? What are they?
You can go to iowaswarm.com, and it's a pretty easy process. Or you can contact myself or Jane Oswald, or just the email up on the website, and talk to us about what kind of gift you're interested in. You know, we really, you know, get every $10 helps, and so we'll take what we can get, and hopefully it'll all add up to enough to where we can have a really competitive roster in all three of those sports.
And can I assume that women's basketball, more people are wanting to donate to that?
I was just going
to
ask.
Are you seeing more people saying, "Hey, I want this to go to women's basketball"?
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. There's been a lot of people that have stepped forward for women's basketball in the last month. We're doing a little campaign, I guess, for women's basketball right now. You know, we're not going to be able to replace Caitlin Clark. You know, but if we can add another piece to the puzzle or to, we can be really, really competitive again next year. And that's certainly the goal.
Maybe you can get that other Caitlin Clark, you know, the city planner that's in the commercial with our Caitlin.
Oh, right.
Who knows? She shoots from here.
Who knows, in a couple of years down the road, the real Caitlin may be able to make a donation.
She might
be donating to the women's NIL cause, that, you know, as
That'd
much
be great.
Money as she's going to be making. I mean, Brad, do you have anything else, Tom? I appreciate it.
Well, we could go on
I know
forever.
You're busy. We appreciate you coming on. Anything else you want to share with listeners before we go, before we let you go, as far as how everything's going?
No, I mean, I'll say that there's a lot of excitement in our football program right now around our new offense. I think that fans are going to be pleasantly surprised at the creativity and well, just the overall success of the offense, but it's a pretty dynamic, unpredictable type offense that, you know, isn't maybe the traditional offense that you've seen from Iowa football in the past. And I think a lot of people are going to be excited.
Let's hope so.
About the progress that the offense is being made, that's being made in, with the offense. And I think, what is it, April 20th, maybe?
Yeah, that's the open spring practice. Okay, that being...
so a lot of people get to watch then. It'll be fun.
That being said, do you foresee this offseason, Iowa football being aggressive in the portal, maybe bringing in – I know they're over scholarship limits now, but that doesn't matter. Do you see – could you see some offensive pieces coming in during the offseason?
I could. I don't think we'll be as aggressive as – you know, I think what was last season, we may have had more than a handful of additions in the portal. Mm-hmm. I don't see that happening this year. Okay. There may be, you know, a couple maybe at the most. I don't know the exact number, but – it's not going to be as prevalent. We're not going to be as active in the portal as we were last year. I think that part is obvious just by looking at our scholarship account. But you never know, too. I mean, the portal opens in a weekish or so, about right around a week from now. You never know what kind of defections you may have, and you get a bunch of defections for one reason or the other. This is all fluid, guys.
Without question, yeah. And a lot of these defections happen after spring ball. Guys wait to see where they're standing at the end of spring ball. Yeah. If they don't like where they are, they move.
And that's where we're at.
Yeah, so.
That's where we're at. Okay. Yep, that's exactly where we're at. So,
Brad, again, thanks for coming on short notice. We love having these updates. I know our listeners appreciate it. Tom, anything else?
No, we always appreciate you coming on, Brad, and hopefully we can do this again in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll have some interesting NIL news coming from Brad.
That would be great, guys. You guys enjoy the Masters this weekend and the beginning of the off season here. I guess women's basketball is finally over and men's basketball is finally over. So let the off season begin.
There you go. Right. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Yep. It was good.
That half an hour went fast.
God, it goes so fast.
He sounds optimistic and a little frustrated with this, and that's understandable.
Both of those things.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit of both. But that was interesting, though, that NIL did play a factor in some of those football players coming back. I mean, let's say we're talking Yahweh Black, the two linebackers, Sebastian Castro, Quinn Schulte. I mean, those are all proven players that could have gone elsewhere.
Yes.
Definitely could have gone elsewhere. And some probably wanted more NIL money, like you said, but they all decided this was the best place for them. And it seems like NIL was a contributing factor, but not just the only factor. You know, to me, I wouldn't want a guy here if he's only here because this is where the most NIL money was. To me, that screws with your chemistry. And that's what I don't think Kirk and Fran want that either. So we'll see. But no, it was good to catch up.
I don't think
Lisa wants that either. Uh-huh. So we shall see. So, but no, that was interesting to kind of get an update with him and moving forward. But boy, if you would have asked me 10 years ago if this is where we'd be right now, I could never have envisioned this.
No, and I suppose it's good for the players for the most part as far as some revenue coming their way, and they earn it with so much money coming to the universities through TV and stuff. I think they deserve their...
Yeah, there's plenty of money to go around.
Yeah.
I mean, Kentucky just offered Danny Hurley $11 million a year for 7 years. That's $77
million. It is. $77 million.
So there's plenty of money to go around. Think about that. And who knows if he's going to go there. Connecticut's probably – he's making 5 or 6 at Connecticut right now. So they'll
probably pop it up to 8.
And it'll come down – I know his wife's from the East Coast. He's from the East Coast. To me, although it's easy to say for me that – I necessarily wouldn't take 11 over 8. That's still $3 million less a year over 5-6 years. That's 20, you know, that's 18, 20 million. Yeah. That's a lot of money you'd be giving up. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Well, who knows what his goals are. I mean, ultimately, does he want to be in the pros? Does he want...
I don't think he does because his act would not work in the pros. Those NBA players would tell him that...
You can't be much more elite than having two national championships in a row.
Yeah.
So is Kentucky more of a blue blood traditionally than UConn? Yes.
But since 1999, UConn's won more NCAA.
That's right.
They've won 6. They're the new premier power.
That's right.
And what have you. So, but I don't see Danny Hurley being in the NBA. To be honest with you, watch his act gets a little old on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
He just bitches.
He wears me out.
Moans and whines and just the whole game.
If I were the referee, I'd tee him up and he would get thrown out of every game.
I mean, he said something to Zach Edey as they were leaving the court.
I wanted to see Zach just
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a bad look. Matt Painter conducts himself so well during games, after games. He just seems like a really good guy. I was really pulling for Purdue,
It
never felt like they were going to win that game. Even when it was close in the first half, you just knew that at some point Connecticut was just going to surge. And it was so hard for Purdue to score, whereas at times Connecticut, they scored with ease.
Well, their plan worked perfectly.
Let Edie
get as many as you want. Don't care. Do not let them score from the outside.
I'll tell you, Purdue desperately needs an athletic wing player. Fletcher Lawyer, no knock against him, but he's not the answer. He did nothing. I mean, they just basically shut down their perimeter game, and they did not have the athletes to create their own shots.
Well, not only did they shut them down, but they only got like a total of seven
they
shots.
They took seven threes
because
they couldn't get open.
They were the premier three-point shooting team in the country.
They couldn't get their shots off in time.
No.
Because they had future NBA players guarding them, and that's one of the toughest things. And we've heard Adam say that, too. One of the toughest things when you go to a next level is the ability to get your shot off. As hard as it is in college, it's even harder in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And, the Fletcher Lawyer, he just could not get open for threes. I thought Braden Smith did. I thought he accounted himself.
A little better.
He at least was aggressive and was playing downhill. He's just not a great shooter. He missed a lot of open shots, and he was the only one who made the three, but it was a hard three right in front of the Connecticut bench with a hand in his face.
Absolutely hotly contested.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But that was the difference. I mean, UConn's perimeter defense was incredible. That was their strength. Don't get me wrong. Danny Hurley's a great coach. He just seems like an ass.
Yeah, and, watching that game, I didn't watch all of it.
I didn't either.
I knocked it off with about 12 minutes to go in the second
half.
That's
what I did. I just got bored.
And I said, and they're not, Purdue's not going to win this game. And I said, you want to go up? She said, yep. So
you guys went out?
Well, went upstairs.
Oh, went upstairs. Oh. I thought maybe you and Ann went out after.
Oh, my God. No.
Hit the town. You're so down you at Brothers.
You went upstairs.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You guys have porn?
Yeah, that happened.
You have a porn music background thing? Like you do like with
the whole wall of shame is porn music.
Yeah. We replaced the doors with porn
music. The best of Harry Reams. You're a big Harry Reams fan, aren't you, Captain?
Sure.
So you're staying up on all the porn now. Harry Reams, 80, if he's alive.
I was going to say I'm staying up on a guy who I heard. Wasn't he in the 70s?
I think he's in the portal.
He's in the transfer portal. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Evan.
That was good.
Haven't heard that name in 50 years.
Harry Reams?
How old
is he? But yet the best egg needles are also Reams.
Yeah, yeah.
So
they are. You're right.
Do you get nervous about that?
I think it's spelled the same way,
it
too.
It is.
Eesh.
I know.
You looking him up, Captain?
Yeah.
He's Googling him right now. He's Googling Harry Reams.
He died in 2013.
He died in
65.
So 65, so he would have been 76 now?
Not much older than you?
No, not
right at your guys' age.
Yeah.
Death.
But I'm died still alive.
Pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
Ew. Bad deal.
That's not really anything to do with porn.
Hi, Steve. It's the program director. What are you Googling on the company time?
Harry Reams.
Turn that safe search on. Can I look up porn stuff at work, too, while I'm here?
Yeah,
I did not know that was
it. Then the FBI comes in. Hey.
I assume you just Googled it, didn't you?
Yes.
All right.
The FBI comes in, searches my phone.
I understand your Googling a porn star from 40 years ago, is that correct?
One thing I did learn from watching Datelines is these idiots Google how they're going to kill somebody.
Or how they're going to clean up. Or how they're going to clean the mess up.
Yeah.
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 Hey, how do you clean up a dead body?
How much quicklime do we need to use for a 200-pound woman?
Honest to God, every time. Every time they kill somebody, then they go to their computer, they've looked up how to do it.
I mean, it's just so stupid. People think, well, it's my computer, so it is private.
Well, plus, thinking that you're going to get away with murder is pretty stupid, too.
It sure is.
I mean,
very seldom do.
Rarely does it happen.
Yeah.
Especially anymore, where everybody's got a camera.
Video camera. I mean, they're...
And they're quick to use them.
Yes. Yes, they are. So... Trying to think if we covered everything.
Well, we got the
show went fast today.
The women's basketball thing.
That's at 6 o'clock tonight.
6 o'clock tonight at from
Carrera. I wish it was at the Pentacrest again. I
thought that was great.
I thought it was great too. And plus, the weather's going to be nice. I mean, nothing against Carver, but
went from the Swarm to
Reeves.
Swarm to pouring back to the Hawks.
But yeah, that's at 6 o'clock tonight, right?
6
and
o'clock.
Yeah. They told us in the media that none of the players are going to be available for interviews, but they're all the seniors, they'll all speak.
Gonna talk.
They'll speak. They'll address the fans. Do you think the place is, you think it'll be sold out?
No.
I don't know. Do you think there'll be 7,000, 8,000?
Oh, yeah. I think
it'll be at least half full.
Yeah.
I mean, 6 o'clock, I think part of the reason they're doing it at 6, so places to park.
Yeah.
A lot easier to park.
Yeah.
At least the weather's cooperating, but I just would have liked to have had it outside.
It was really fun last year. We got to have our dogs there, and it was cool.
Oh, Wopsy was there?
Yeah.
Was she enjoying it?
Yeah.
Was
she
Mo there?
She made a lot of new friends.
Was Mo there? Mo was there guarding Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Mo. Yeah, I don't know if my dogs would have handled that situation very well. But no, it was right there in the front, right? They had him speak right on the steps.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. So, but no, this is good. This will be the kind of the final goodbye to an incredible group of players, an incredible class. And to think, like Kate Martin was 2 years ahead of Caitlin in high school.
Uh-huh.
She was a senior when Caitlin was a sophomore. Gabby was 1 year ahead of Caitlin, but now they're all together. Because, as bad as COVID was, it did help this team.
Yes, sure did.
I mean, it had a huge impact on these last 2 years for Iowa women's basketball. And now we're finally to the point now where we're in the last year of free COVID years. The players that came in the fall of 20, like Caitlin did,
mm-hmm.
now the players that came in the fall of 21, they don't have that COVID year, if I'm not mistaken. I think this is the end of the COVID period.
I believe
Which, to me, I'm ready to move on from that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it just seems like nobody uses their eligibility anymore. Everybody always has, he's got 6 more years left, COVID. Yeah. But no, we're going to finally get past that era.
Well, most of Caitlin's class is going, their superstars are all going in this year, except for Paige. And she's coming back to UConn.
Yeah, and I think if Paige hadn't been injured, she'd be gone too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not saying she has more to prove, but maybe she feels she does have more to prove.
Did you happen to see that graphic out there that showed all of the men's basketball players, all of the women basketball players in put them on a grid, assists to the left, down below.
I think
points.
I did, yeah.
And you had this huge cluster, a few little outliers, and then Caitlin Clark up in the far right.
Far right corner, the little green dot.
Incredibly far ahead of everybody else.
No, it was
else.
Incredible. I tweeted something about, I tweeted the fact that the women's game drew more than the men's game. Men's games actually drew more than I. It still drew
more than I thought.
But somebody came back to me and said, "Well, that's only because the women played on Sunday, the men on Monday. Big difference." I don't think it would have mattered.
No,
I think if Caitlin's game would have been at 8 o'clock on Monday, it would have had 18 million viewers.
No,
maybe I'm naive, but I don't think it mattered.
No, it didn't matter. And somebody from Deadline that covers this stuff compared other games that were on, like because the men were on cable. That was another thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were on a. He compared all this
and that's
stuff.
That's true.
And he said, no, the women by far had 4.5 million more people watching it.
18.7.
Yeah.
I was close with my prediction. I said between.
Well,
now, in fairness to the men, the 820 on a Monday probably hurt how many viewers they had, but it's separate from the women's
that's
game.
That's just damn late.
It is late. But I agree with Captain. The women's game would have drawn at any time. It just would have. Whereas I think the men was impacted by when it was played, whereas I don't think the women would have been. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, that's just unbelievable. It's just amazing that this team and Caitlin Clark captured the whole freaking nation.
Yeah.
And more than the nation.
And a little bit internationally as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, my brother in Germany.
Yeah.
They're following it.
The French guys that recorded us on Caitlin Clark Day.
No, this was really just something I don't know that we'll see again.
Oh, I don't think we'll
I don't
ever
think we will.
I don't think we'll ever see another Caitlin Clark.
No. Saw where Stanford's coach retired, the women's coach.
Yes, after 38 years there. She was at Ohio State prior to that, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think she was. I could be wrong, but I thought she was. But yeah, no, what a great career for her. And, but yeah, some of these great coaches are, you know, I mean, Gino Auriemma probably doesn't have many years left to coach. I mean, he's getting up there. I mean, a lot of the great coaches are in their 60s now, so you're kind of seeing a change of the guard.
I imagine Gino getting the number one recruit ain't going to hurt anything.
No.
I mean, those rosters for UConn and Southern Carolina are just freaking loaded.
And it's, you know, with UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten, that's going to have a huge impact on women's basketball. Those programs are thriving right now.
They are.
So, yeah, it's gotten a lot harder for Lisa. I mean.
Well, it's amazing what she was able to do with 1 5-star and really nobody else that was particularly highly rated. And, you know, South Carolina had 10 5-stars.
And that's why they were a better team. But for Iowa to get what they got out of their squad, number one, it's a reflection of Caitlin, of course, but also the culture and the coaches.
That's right.
And I do think maybe those players were a little better than they – I mean, I was watching some talking head show, and they kept – I think it was Keyshawn Johnson, former NFL wide receiver, was basically saying that Iowa's supporting cast was – mediocre to below average. I'm not going that far.
I think that's fair.
A little unfair. I mean, below average, I mean, I think they were average and a great player lifted them. But to say that, I mean, Hannah Stolke made second team All Big Ten and scored 23 points in an NCAA semifinal. That's not mediocre.
And she made the Final Four.
Yeah, all tournament team. I think to say that their supporting cast was mediocre or below average, I think that's a little harsh.
I think it's a little better than that.
But who knows? Yeah. It's just my opinion. Anything else? You still got the Harry Reams page open, don't you?
He's a fascinating individual.
sure he was. Sure he was.
We're going to end on that?
Yeah, sure.
Of course, porn was a little shadier back then, I think. You know, now it's considered more mainstream.
Were you a big porn guy in the 70s?
No.
Captain?
No.
Oh, yeah, I had a big mustache. And no, I wasn't.
No, I never was a big porn guy either. Never.
I'm sure this will be an important call.
Hello.
It'll be the head of the porn industry.
Hello. Okay.
We're going to end on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Police reports next. Talkfanatic.com. Check it out. It's free. Thank you, Brad.